A Linguistic Bestiary. 1. Widder's Lion. Among the well-known quotations from Wittgenstein's writings is the passage that says, "If a lion could talk, we could not understand him." Perhaps our philosopher was thinking about the fact that biological differences exist between the perceptual mechanisms of humans and animals. This is a fact and needs to be taken account of in describing the differences between human ways of communicating and the exchanges that take place among birds, bees, and beasts. Perhaps he had something more subtle in mind. 1. If a lion could talk, why could we not record what he says, just as linguists do in their fieldwork with unknown languages, and work out the analysis of lion language bit by bit, phoneme by phoneme, morpheme by morpheme, structure by structure? 2. Did Wittgenstein believe that the interplay of speech, what is said, and language, what can be said, a characteristic of all natural human languages, and deeply ingrained in our predisposition to social meaning-making, might not exist for that chatty lion? 3. All the languages in the world of humans are translatable, even if only roughly in some cases, into all other languages. So would it be possible to translate lionese into human language? Wittgenstein began with an if, and we have to add another one here. If the answer to our last two questions is yes, then our philosopher may have intended to offer a lesson about a universal feature of human language that distinguishes it from other possible forms of language. Philosopher Stephen Burns puts it in these terms. If we go back to the context where Wittgenstein made his observation, we see that it requires an account of perception, of objectivity and subjectivity in the case of seeing as, and of meaning in relation to perception. And this brings us back to the phenomenon of social meaning-making, precisely what could keep us from understanding the lion. If he is not a social animal like ourselves, he may not even be speaking, even if he could trick us into supposing that he is speaking to us. Here we are back to Wittgenstein's if.